Okay, good morning, gentlemen. We're continuing in Sefer Yeshua, Perek Chaf Beis, and we saw the beautiful leaving of the Bnei Gad, Reuven and Chasi Shev Menashe, from Yeshua, the cover that was given, which will now only amplify the strangeness of the next incident. We're on Perek Chaf Beis, Pasuk Yud. I'm going to look in the Navi first, and then we'll start looking at some of the other Svarim over here. Vayavo el Galilos Hayarden Asher Be'eretz Kenan. And as they are returning home, they came to the Galilos Hayarden, a very strange term for that area. The simple translation of that would be the region of the Jordan River. Okay, which is in Eretz Kenan, meaning to say on the west bank. Okay, Vayivnu b'nei Reuven u'b'nei Gad v'chatzi sheva Menashe sham mizbeach al hayarden mizbeach gadol l'mareh. And the 2.5 tribes, they build a mizbeach on the Jordan River, a large mizbeach l'mareh for show. Okay, in other words, we will see shortly, not a mizbeach to bring offerings, but a huge mizbeach, much larger than the dimensions of the regular mizbeach. The regular mizbeach wasn't so big, wasn't that big. This is like a huge, huge, monumental mizbeach. Okay, and this was, we'll see exactly what it means, on the Jordan River. It could mean next to the Jordan River. Different Meforshim over here discuss that. All right, but it was very tall. Didn't have any steps, and it appears that those who were building it weren't really building it for the use of anything of a mizbeach of nature. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayishmu b'nei Yisrael emor, the Jewish people heard this, and they said, uh-oh. Hinei vanu b'nei Reuven b'nei Gad v'chatzi sheva Menashe, es mizbeach el mul eretz Kenan, Galilos Hayarden el eiver b'nei Yisrael. Behold, the 2.5 tribes have built themselves a mizbeach opposite the land of Canaan, by that area, that region of the Yarden, and the, on the side of the Jewish people, meaning on the west bank. Okay. Now, obviously, they thought, you know how rumors spread. Somebody sees from a distance a mizbeach, one person tells the other, and they all figure, aha, they've now built their own mizbeach to do their own avoda, to do their own worshiping to God, right? They built it just like the Mishkan in Shiloh. They're building it right across Eretz Yisrael, and obviously it's going to have great implications what they're doing over here. Okay, so now what's the problem with this? What's the major problem? If they did such a thing,
that's not where we're supposed to be.
Remember, we learned once the Mishkan was built and it settled down, all private bamos, all private mizbechos are not allowed. Remember, now that Shiloh has been designated and it's operational, 3 times a year, all Jews visit Shiloh. If you do any averos and you have to record machatos, it's done in Shiloh. You want to have any connection with God, you've got to go to Shiloh. Right? And now look, they went and built their own mizbech. Yud Gimel. Vayishluchu b'nei Yisrael el b'nei Reuven. And the Jewish people sent a delegation to the b'nei Reuven, the b'nei Gad, and Chatzishev Menashe, el Eretz HaGilad. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped a pasuk. Yud Beis. Yud Beis. Now we got a second Vayishmu as word begins to spread. Vayishmu b'nei Yisrael, the Jewish people heard what's going on. Vayikahalu kolad as b'nei Yisrael shilo. All the Jews congregated to shilo. Lalos aleihem latzavet, to go up against them to war. Whoa. Because of the terrible sin that they apparently had done. Okay. They obviously, did they judge these people favorably or not? Not. Right? They're gonna get an army ready to go, if it's gonna be necessary. Okay. And, you know, if they don't repair what's going on over there, they figure they're gonna do their own offerings over here. And if not, it's gonna be a major problem over here. So, we will see. There's a lot to talk about over here. So what happens, some sounder minds get involved here. So they send a delegation to the 2.5 tribes. And who is the leader of the delegation? Our good friend is Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen. Pinchas, the son of Elazar the Kohen. Yudad, who else did they send? Vasara Nesim Imo, 10 princes with him. Nasi Yechad, Lebesav, L'chol Matas Yisrael, one tribe from each, one leader, one prince from every one of the tribes. Vishrosh Besav Osam, Hemelaf Yisrael, and the each man, the head of their households, for the thousands of, for every thousands of Jews. Right? In other words, they gotta discuss what's going on over here. Now, you know, first of all, there's a transgression against Hashem going on over here. This transgression against the Jewish people, and you know they've got to find out what's going on and give them rebuke if necessary.
Who is Yoshua in all this?
Good question. Mufarshim will talk about that. Mufarshim will talk about that. Another question is: who are the 10? You got 10 princes. Yeah, you got 10 princes. You got 10 princes, right? Because you got 12 tribes, 2.5 on one side, 9.5 on the other side, so that half is Menashe. So you got 10. That makes sense. So it happens, Yud Tesvav, Ayavo El B'nai Ruven, they come, El B'nai Ruven, El B'nai God, V'chatzashay Menashe, El Eretz Gilad, they reach them in the land of Gilad. V'idabri Tom Lemer, they speak to them following Tezayim. They're saying, Ko Amru Kol Adas Hashem. So says the entire congregation, of Hashem. Mohamala se Hashem ma'alta melokei Yisrael. Lashuv Hashem echarei Hashem. What crime have you done? What violation have you done to sin against the God of Israel? To return this way from away from Hashem. This day to turn away from Hashem. What in the world are you doing? Right? They're not sure what this mizbech is for. Is this Mizbeach to worship to idols? Is this Mizbeach to just bring good old-fashioned korbanos? And either way, there's a problem. On the one hand, if it's for Avodah Zorah, they say, Mahamala said, what is this crime they're doing? It's a big crime. And then, Lashuv Hashem, Acharei Hashem, right? You know, after all the big miracles that have happened, right? So what are you doing over there? And you're going to build yourself a mizbeach for Avodah Zorah. Right? It's, what's going on over here? And they it's bivnei seichem lochem mizbeach limor dechem hayom vashem, that you're building for yourself an altar in your rebelliousness today against Hashem. Right? It's mamish a rebellion against Hashem if you're going to build something for idol worship. Okay. Now, Hama'at lonu es avon po'or asher lohi taharnu mimenu ad yom hazeh. Isn't it bad enough? The sin of when the Jews worshiped the Baal po'or idol, which we have not yet purified ourselves until today. Vayanegev badas Hashem, and there was a great plague amongst the congregation of Hashem. Vatem tashuv ayom achrei Hashem, and now you're turning away from Hashem. Vayatem timrdu ayom b'Hashem. Today you're rebelling against Hashem. Umachar al kol adas Yisrael yisof. And then tomorrow there's going to be problems against the entire Jewish people. we'll see what they mean by that. Even if you feel that the land of your portion is tamei, is impure. So cross over to the land of the portion of Hashem. Come with us to the West Bank. Where the Mishkan Hashem is dwelling. And take a hold of it amongst us. We'll share with you. We'll share with you. We'll give you land on our side. If you feel bad, you're on the wrong side. Uvashem al timrdu, but don't rebel against Hashem. Vosan al timrdu, don't rebel against us. Vivnoschem lachem isbech, when you build for yourself an altar, mimbaladeh misbech Hashem al kenu, aside from the misbech that is for Hashem our God, which is, in Shiloh. Right? So, what are you doing? This is their complaint. And he continues, Vasachav. Hello, Achan ben Zerach mal mal b'cherem. Remember when Achan took from the loot that we weren't supposed to take? V'alkol adas Yisrael ha'yekotzef, and against the Jewish people was all this anger and wrath. V'uish achot lo gova bavo. No, and he was just one guy. Right? Even if it was just one guy. And it wasn't such a big chilul Hashem. Right? But, he wasn't the only guy who was involved over here. Wasn't the only guy. And other people were killed because of it, got punished because of it. So what are you doing? So, this is a very, very strong issue over here. What is going on? So let's take a look in the Sefer Parshos Sefer Nevi'im, and let's get a little background and see why we're picking on certain items over here. Okay, we're on page Kuf Tzadi Dalid, the lower right hand side. You should all have the booklet. If not, there should be a couple more on the table over here. Okay, and what is exactly going on over here? All right, we're on Kuf Tzadi Dalid. The title is called Nisbeach HaGodol Beglilas HaYarding, the big Nisbeach in the region of the Jordan River. V'darcham la'eretz ha'gilad, on the way back to the land of Gilad, which is on the east bank, his'akvu ha'shvatim beglilas ha'yardim. The tribes stayed for a while at this area called the Glilos ha'yardim. Al'gvul shebein eretz Yisrael ben eretz achuzasam. That's like the boundary between eretz Yisrael and the inheritance of their land. U'banusham, and they built their, quote, a mizbeach godol lamara, a very large mizbeach for show. So, commentary explains like this. Kfar Re'inu Shemeshabo L'Shiloh, the Kovu Shemesh HaMishkan, already saw that when they came to Shiloh and established the Mishkan, Nesra HaBamas, the Bamas are not allowed. V'ya'asr L'Hakriv Karbonos Mechutz Mizbech HaShem B'Shiloh, it's prohibited to bring any Karbonos outside that Mizbech in Shiloh. Now, V'nei Nivritza B'far Hesya Pirtza Rishona B'chomos HaTorah V'Mitzvah. Now has come the first breach, the public breach, a big breach in the wall of Torah and Mitzvahs. Yomim Muatim Bilvan Acharei Asaroso Shel Yeshua. It's just a couple days after Yeshua just warned them and said, Rakshim Shamru Ma'od, Las Mitzvahs HaTorah, be very careful to keep the Torah and Mitzvahs. Mamish, a couple days later, and boom, a gross public violation. What are they building a mizbech for? Im lo l'karbonos, if not to bring karbonos. V'od bonim also god l'amar, they're building it big, not just a little wimpy mizbech like we got now in Shiloh. This is huge. I don't know. It doesn't give us dimensions. It must have been really huge. If they, you know, a little mizbech, people wouldn't notice. You know, how are they going to notice something? This must be huge. Right? That's what he's saying. Well, Bodimus said, God Lamar, you're doing it so everyone can see it. Lihiskaros kivyachol biyasoros of Eretz Hashem and Mishkan Shiloh. It's like to contend and to like lahachas, argue with the fundamentals of service of Hashem and the Mishkan Shiloh. Asher rak ze atokon, which was just put up. Vasher tzorech l'shamesh kemerkaz avodas Hashem l'chai yom kulo b'eretz hakdosha. And the Mishkan Shiloh was meant to serve as a merkaz, as a center for the service of Hashem and for the life of the entire people in the Holy Land. Now you're setting up another shul. Right? Building up another splinter shul. Vodavar. Another thing. Shara shvatum ro mizbech beglilus hayardim pesach lepirut bam. They see that this building the mizbech in this area is already the opening to divide up the people. To separate the people. Kikach amar kaz, that's what the pasuk says. Vayishmu b'nei Yisrael leimor. The Jewish people heard. Hinei butter, they have built Esa Mizbech, Elever B'nai Yisrael, on the other side of Eretz Yisrael. What's the expression? Elever B'nai Yisrael, so it's a play on words. Hem Kivyachol Me'ever Echad, it's like they're on one side, V'kol Shar B'nai Yisrael Me'ever Hashem, all Jews are on the other side. They're making their own place to worship. Right, he brings out the next pasuk, that the Jewish people hear this, and they gather together. So after the bold words, B'nai Yisrael, Einam Achakim, L'kriyas Manhigam, Yeshua V'Lazar. They don't even wait for a call from their leaders, Yeshua and Elazar. There's so much righteous indignation going on over here. Hem Nikoli Me'atzvim B'Shom Al-Nasa. They already get together when they heard what's going on. It's just like a mob. You know, how could this be? Hello, not only that, El-Choshim Hem La'aslam Mi'ad L'Tzav. They're planning to go right to war. V'Ligdur Sapirtza Ba'oda to fix up the breach right away while it's just starting. Okay, so that's what's going on. We'll see if how Yeshua and Elazar get involved here. So my achumra yaseir shebeglola rob and Yisrael ilo lalos aleilosavs. What was such a big deal that the whole country, the whole nation, they want to go already with a war and everything? What's going on over here? It seems to be a very strong reaction. But v'shayla zu don haram, the Rambam in Miskeres Diyuno b'chomeres ha'onshim shel Torah. So the Rambam in his Sefer Morah Nevuchim discusses this when he discusses the whole idea of the severe punishments that are involved in the Torah. He goes through a whole discussion of these capital punishments, etc., etc. So in the middle of that Morah Nevuchim piece, the Rambam says, V'cheinu adin etzli b'chol avera. That's the way I see the law by me in any kind of avera. Shira mimeno stira satora o amachloikas kenegda. If you see anything that's in contradiction to the Torah or arguing with the Torah. V'afilu ochel odom Yisrael basar b'cholav olov eshatnes ohoikiv pesa rosh l'bizoyna Torah. If you see a Jew eating meat and milk or wearing shatnes or cutting off his payas, but he's doing it and it is creating a bizoyin haTorah, an insult to the Torah. Mipnei das, she is bar mimenu, she'enu mamin, she's also Torah's emes. If it's coming from an intellect, that it appears from what he's doing, that he doesn't believe that this Torah is true. There's this doing an avera, and then there's being spiteful because it's, you know, in principle, I just don't believe in the Torah. Who actually, anemar, for me, this is, I'm sorry. Mipnei das, she's barbi menu, she'enu mamin, she's also Torah's. Yeah, who etzli hanemar lov es Hashem uget. To me, that's considered as the pasuk says that you're cursing out Hashem. If a person acts that way, it's like he's cursing out Hashem. V'yaharek mises kvira, and he's put to death with the death of one who is a heretic. Lo mises onesh, not just a mis of a punishment, a regular punishment. Let's say you're mechal Shabbos and it's a regular punishment, but he calls it a mises kvira. Like we know about the story of an ir hanidachas. The Torah tells us in Sefer Dvarim, if you find a city that's an ir hanidachas, or the people in the city, they're all idol worshippers. Shehargu mises koyfrim, they get the death of heretics. Lo mises onesh, not a death of punishment. You have to know, I don't want to get into what the differences are of that. V'chein ani omer ba'eda miYisrael, and I say this amongst the congregation of Israel, if you'd see one city that they decide to pick on one mitzvah and grossly violate it because they don't believe it's the Torah is true, you wipe them out. That's the halacha. Even though the Torah specifies just an ir hanidachas, where they're mamish worshiping idols, he says you don't have to worship idols. If they all say, you know what, this mitzvah is not for us. You know, the Torah is not so divinely ordained. God messed up on a few places here. We ain't into this one. We're not doing this one. So that's like an Aaron Yidachas. You got to kill them all out. Now, what's his proof? For Raivadav, the proof is Inya B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvain, the story that we're learning right now. Shabbat Bahem, it says, Vayomer Kaleid Alal Salem Otso, the people wanted to go to war against them. Yachakach Berlehem, Vishas Hasra, Shem Kfar Kafru, Baskima Malaverahi. And as they talk to them and they discuss with them, they're saying, you're denying, you know, by the fact that you're agreeing to do, they thought they were doing an Avera. The fact you're agreeing to do an Avera, it's like you're denying the Torah, the cover of the Torah Kula. And what do they say about them? You're going against Hashem. And we'll see what their answer is. And they answer, Taka, if what we're doing is a merit, if we are doing such a bad thing, Taka, you know, we'd be responsible for that. But what do you see from the Rambam? As now he explains, we learn from the words of the Mor Nevuchim. If the suspicion of the Jewish people would have been true, that they had brought us, made a separate mizbech, Hare chomeres bina mizbech, hi bikfira batara kula. The stringency of the severity of building this mizbech is a denial of the entire Torah. Biyosem, because by the virtue of the fact, ladasa eda in the eyes of the congregation, meizidim lavar al mitzvah achas biyad rama, they are maliciously transgressing one mitzvah in a brazen way, which is he iser bamas bimei mishkan shil, which is the prohibition of building a bama in the mish after during the times of the mishkan shil, which is not allowed. It's one mitzvah. It's one mitzvah. And Rambam's not learning that they suspected them of idol worship. Rambam's learning that just suspected them of doing their own thing. L'daita doma avera kazos l'chet ir nidachas. In his mind, the one avera is like an ir nidachas.
What was the transgression again? What did they do?
To build your own private altar and to not go to Shiloh now. Once Shiloh was built, nobody could have their own backyard mizbeach.
That was a rabbinical decree?
That's the Torah says it. It says in Sefer Dvarim. Sefer Dvarim says that when you come to the land of Israel, you can't do like we're doing now. And everybody builds their own private bamas. Once you come to Israel and you build the Mishkan, you come to the Menucha, Vanachala, you come to the place of tranquility and inheritance, which means either Shiloh or Yerushalayim, no more private sacrifices. You have to come to the Mishkan. Right? Now, what are they doing? They're building their own mizbech. What are you building your own mizbech for? To bring your own offerings. You don't plan on going to Shiloh anymore. Right? That's the Avera. No private bamas. No private shtibles. You don't make your own minion. You got to come to the main minion where everybody's at. Right?
Every day?
If you ever want to go to bring an animal offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's got to be in Shiloh and that's it. If you turn on the lights on Shabbos by mistake, you have to bring a korban chatas till you go to, you can only go to Shiloh. I mean, there's a lot of logic to this. There's a lot of logic to this. That there's only one place to go. You know, you're going to say, what are you talking about? Satellite regions. It's a good idea. Can you imagine there, especially there on the other side. You know, that's a big job. You got to cross the Jordan River. It's a big schlep from one side to the other. What's so bad if we have a bunch of little shtiebels all around Eretz Yisrael? Lumi's back here, Lumi's back there. You see, that's not the way it's supposed to be. There's no Achdus number one. But it's much more than that. It's much more than that. You know, the whole environment of the Beis HaMikdash, the whole environment of the Mishkan, you know, you gotta remember the Kohanim were there, the Levim were there. You know, when a guy does an Avera, you know, when you do an Avera, you feel a bit distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And, you know, when you come to Yerushalayim, it becomes a whole learning experience. Or Shiloh, for that matter. It's not just bringing the animal offering. It's not just a question of bringing, and this is so important, you know, people struggle with this. It's not just the animal offering that's being brought, because the guy's saying, well, I could do it anywhere. It's the whole atmosphere that you're missing. The atmosphere is so critical. The Torah says it specifically. You know, you bring bikurim. You bring bikurim. You know, the whole purpose of going to the Beis HaMikdash, the whole purpose of going to the Mishkan Shiloh, is to cultivate and deepen your Yiras Hashem. Because this was an area that was designated mamish for Kedusha. It's designated, and lots of efforts were made to create this correct environment that every Jew has to visit from time to time to boost, get a booster shot in his spirituality. You know, you're working on the farm with the cows. Okay, you're working hard on the soil. You know, when you live with cows, even if you're not such a great Jew, you always stack up better against the cow. You know, I'm pretty good. Cows are dumb and I'm smart. You know, you're Machal Shabbos. You run through your davening. You don't think about a Kodesh Baruch as much as you should. Right? But compared to the cows, you're a tzaddik. Right? And you can imagine, you know, it's you know, there's not a lot going on. There's not a lot of role models to measure up against. Right? And I did an aver. I'll go in the backyard. I built my own little mizbeach. Okay, I understand I was Machal Shabbos. Okay, I bring the korban. Finished. Let's go on. That's too easy. You know, you gotta schlep a little sheep with you. You gotta travel. You gotta go a long distance. You gotta probably stay over in a hotel a couple nights along the way. And people say, oh, where are you going? I'm going to Shiloh. Oh, really? This is January. There's no holidays now. What's that sheep you got over there? I want to give Hashem a gift. You know, he's already thinking about this for a couple of days. Till he gets Yerushalayim, like it's a bit embarrassing. Right? Then he comes to Shiloh, comes to Yerushalayim, whatever it is. You know, and then the whole aura, the whole atmosphere, the kahanim. You know, he says, well, I'm here already, you know, maybe the Sanhedrin's here too, you know. Maybe I'll take in a class, you know. And he, you know, the great, great scholar he is with the English Mishnah Brura, whatever, you know what I'm saying? And he goes to class and he doesn't know what's coming or going. He just, you know, he hears a shiur, he's gone by the first sentence. And he sees somebody's engaged in a lively discussion, he doesn't know what they're talking about. Doesn't know what they're talking about. A little bit of humbling experience. You might be smarter than Bessie, but you don't know nothing. You know, and then he begins to realize it. You know, he's not, and he just sees the kohanim walking around and the mamish walking around like with their faces lit up because they're so holy. And he begins to realize that he's not such a great guy. And then the kohen gets over to him, starts speaking to him. Says, no, my tired yid. Well, what are you here for? With a big smile. Mr. Cohen, I mean, I really didn't mean I'm doing it, and you know, starts hemming and hawing, but you know, I turned the light on Shabbos. Chveis. He says, oi, Shabbos, and probably puts his arm around him in a nice, sweet way. He starts teaching him how beautiful Shabbos is, and how a yid should always be thinking about it. And he gets a real good kiruv from the kohen, and finally they explain to him that you really have to have you got to do tshuva, and they explain to him the steps of tshuva, and then finally he brings the korban, and he probably learns a little more Torah with them, and the levim are singing, and it's so beautiful, and you know what, he comes back a new man, he's ready to go back to the farm. Like a yid, not like a farmer. Right? It's the experience. It's that experience that was so necessary. It was that reconnect. You can't create that environment in your backyard. You can't create it in the local shtiebel. It's not there. In other words, the whole reason you would do it would be for convenience. Convenience is a really not a popular Jewish word. Convenience means you're taking shortcuts. That's okay. Nothing wrong with a convenience store. That's okay. You know, you ran out of sugar. You got to go to the convenience store. Okay. You know, but there's always a premium you pay for convenience. Right? But there's no such thing as a convenience as shul. convenience Yiddishkeit. It's just not, it's not on the page. It's not on the page. In other words, if my spirituality has to be convenient, right, then you're cutting corners. Then you're cutting corners. You know, and that's the way it is. That's just the way it is. You know, I can't spend, I'm not gonna get into Shalom Bayis issues. I'm not gonna go there. I'm not gonna go there. We have to balance everything in our life, right? But you know, in other words, does your Yiddishkeit revolve around your schedule, or do you revolve around the Yiddishkeit schedule? Right? If you know, come on, you're gonna build your own altar in the backyard. Come on, is your altar in the backyard come close to being in Shiloh? You're gonna get that same experience. Yeah, but it's such a hassle, man. You know, it doesn't. I gotta take a week off of work. You gotta understand. It's not an easy thing. You know, you live in Tzfat. Alright? Okay, Shiloh wasn't so bad if you lived in Tzfat, but Yerushalayim, no. You know, we don't have a bus now in those days that in 3.5 hours you can make it from Tzfat to Yerushalayim. Took the donkey and it probably took 3 days. Probably took 3 days. Right? 3 days there, 3 days back, sit at least a day, gotta sleep over. It's a week. What are you talking about? It's May. It's the harvest season. I ain't got time for this. Oh no, you better make time, mister. Right? That's that whole idea that it's gotta fit into my schedule. The whole idea is, no, there's no convenience here. This is the only way Yerushalayim stays holy, or Shiloh stays holy, if everybody goes there. If everybody goes there. That's how it's gonna retain its holiness. Because we're not gonna let the Kohanim, we're not gonna splinter the Kohanim, send a coin here, a coin here, a coin there. You know, you need to get the whole Kohanim in one place. And that's when you really create that environment. Right? And now when the person will come here, you know, it's the real good environment where they daven slow, and they learn properly, and you have a good role model. Oh! Now he'll come, he'll gain from that experience. And you know what? And you're right, you've got to be, imposed upon. But it makes an impression. But if, you know, you're there, you turn the light on Shabbos by mistake, and Sunday you bring the korban, and Sunday afternoon you're back with the farming. How much of an impression is it going to make on you? Like it's the whole thing. You know, for the whole 3 days that he's, you know, there's a concept, Gomorrah says, a concept of schar alicha. You get a reward for walking to shul. Or going to the base of Mikdash for that matter. For 3 days he has to think about going to Yerushalayim. It's the thing about why do I have to go to here? What's the reason for this? And then he's there, and then the 3 days back. But if you just go to the backyard and bring the korban, it's easy come, easy go, right? So therefore, you can see how this will destroy the Jewish people. What's going to happen? All of a sudden, everybody, and indeed, we will see. Unfortunately, we will see as we headed out. You know, in the later times, you know, in Sefer Shmuel. We'll see that it was a very bad tekufa, a very bad time. And the Torah praises Elkanah that he went out of his way to 3 times a year go to Shiloh. Why did the Torah praise him? Because people were stopped going to Shiloh. You know, and then having all the troubles with the Philistines and all the other issues because we lack that unity. So, you know, this idea, you know, of looking for convenience doesn't cut it in Yiddishkeit. You know, it's not, in other words, convenience means my schedule is very important, and I don't disturb my schedule even for the Beis HaMikdash. So you got the wrong attitude, mister. You know, if you need the Beis HaMikdash badly, and if you don't come and others don't come, you're all going to miss out on that experience and that situation, right? So like it's a problem. I don't offer easy solutions. You see, in this generation, there were good people and they messed up. Not these people particularly. We're going to see, but you see, this is like kfira. This is a terrible avera. They're going to go out to war and kill them. Because how can you not go there, right? So you know, I mean, you know what it's like. You know what it's like. You know what a shtibel minion's like. A minion in the house. You know, minion in the house. Quick, easy, fast. Let's get over this because we got to eat dinner right away. I mean, like, you know, you gotta understand, what's the Iker of Shabbos? The Iker of Shabbos is all the food you eat, or is the Iker of Shabbos is connecting to Kodesh Baruch Hu? Right? or whatever it is, at any time during the week. You go to the shtibul minyan, the express minyan. Right? Get over it. My wife says dinner's at 7 o'clock. Dinner's at 7 o'clock. Well, that's not the way. Dinner isn't the ikkar of Shabbos. The ikkar of Shabbos is being in shul, being mekabel Shabbos properly. Whatever it is, Shabbos morning, whatever it is. Right? It's just not the same. We know it's not the same. It's not the same when you daven in your own house. It's not the same. It's not the same. When you daven in a minyan, you know, and a minyan that's a serious minyan, you daven better. There's no question about it. Okay, you got other issues to deal with. And you got to work them through. But you always should know you're compromising. And you're not having the experience it's possible to have. And that's what they're saying, that this can't be, that we're all not going to the same place. Right? You can't splinter your own Yiddishkeit. Right? Back inside the text, okay? Yes, sir. You've been too quiet for too long, Shelley.
No, 2 months. Somebody's mentioned this here. This is I don't agree with this, but you could extend this and say, take Thornhill and you have this big shul on Clark, and that's, quote, the shul on Thornhill, and why have all these other shuls, you know, sprout up close by? The same idea. I'm not saying that that's the equivalent of the Mizbeach and Shiloh, but that was sort of the plan for that to be the big shul of Thornhill. So some people say to me, well, why do you go to these other small shuls like West Mount or, you know, there's Chabad around here? And I realize one size doesn't fit all, but that is the big shul of Thornhill. And in Europe, wasn't there one sort of larger shul?
Oh, there was a larger shul, and there were a lot of shtibles as well. Let's put it like this. If you had one shul, how am I going to answer this without being politically correct? It's not going to be easy. If you know, like I said last night, the pasuk says Acharei Rabim Lahatos. You have to go with the majority, right? But you don't go after the majority for bad things. If the shul itself is not creating the environment that what a shul is supposed to create, then you can't. You have to find means that do create that environment. If it was taka place in the main shul and there's 700 people and they're all quiet and they're davening to Hashem, then maybe you're right. And if the place is sensitive to do kiruv, and it was makar of people, you'd be right. But unfortunately, it's not. I mean, I can only speak for our shul. Our mandate is what? Is to bring Jews closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. It doesn't happen from that shul. It doesn't. For whatever reason, it doesn't. So you have to have places that are going to do that. You're going to have places that are going to do that. And you have to have places that enable people to daven properly. Right, they have to be able to do that, and until that, and since it's not there, then you have to find a place to do that. The Rambam, you know, the Rambam talks about certain things that if you find, and not it's not exactly the same thing, but if you find a city where everybody is transgressing against Hashem, you have to leave the city. You have to go somewhere else, and if everybody's terrible, you have to live in the desert. In other words, it's falling short of what a mikdash ma'at, a miniature mikdash, is all about. It falls short from it. If it was part of it, then you're right. But if it doesn't, then now if you're there to, if all you're doing is building another shul that talks in shul too, then you have no excuse. If you're talking in the big shul, but you want to have one with your friends in the small shul, then there's no reason to do that. In other words, you got a big shul that talks and a splinter group to make another group to talk with their friends. So that array is ridiculous. Right? Like, what are you doing it for? It's not helping anything. If you're saying, listen, we're building a shul that's not talking, we're building a shul that's reaching out to Yidden, well, then you're accomplishing something that the big shul's not doing. Right? I'll tell you, Shelley, the day our shul starts talking, the day our shul doesn't say hello to new people is the day that I'm leaving. Okay? That's all. Because I wouldn't be part of such a thing. right? Because it wouldn't be right. But as long as we're keeping a standard that maybe one day the big shul will take notice of, and we're bringing in people, so then there's a reason to have to do that. You know, we're not living under ideal situations, right? So that's the answer. Is that satisfying?
That's good.
You know, it's unfortunate that it has to be that way, but the better way would be to improve the big shul, to make the shul that kind of place. But you know what happens when you have boards on shuls and things like that, because then they run the shul, and the rabbi has very little say to what goes on in the shul, and therefore you get what you get. You get what you get. Anyway, so let's go back to what we're talking about. So Rambam is considering this story as an ir hanidachas. The fact that you want to publicly violate this, it's an ir hanidachas. All right, six lines from the bottom. V'ulayin uchal v'dimu zeh liyashev od bai v'parshenu. Maybe with this comparison, we can answer another difficulty in our parsha. Madu alo niskeru lo Yeshua v'lo azar b'chol parashikul. That was your question. Why is Yeshua and Elazar not mentioned? Where are they? Harei Parnasei Ador, they're the leaders of the generation. Valeim Lios Godrei Hageder, they should be the ones fixing up the breach of the wall. There is a conspicuous omission of these leaders. So Pasuk HaKasuv, the Pasuk begins by saying, Vayishmu B'nei Yisrael, the Jewish people heard. V'simen ends, Vayikalu Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. And the congregation, the entire congregation gathered together. Now the question is, Umaha Yakasov Chasser, what would be lacking in the text? Ilura Kasov, they only would have written the following. They'd have combined the two psukim. And they would have said, Vayishmu b'nei Yisrael, Vayikalu kulam shilo. If you look again carefully, there seems to be a bit of redundancy over here. Pasuk Yud Aleph says, and the Jewish people heard. And then it says, again in Pasuk Yud Beis, and the Jewish people heard, Vayikalu kol adas b'nei Yisrael, the entire congregation got together. What would be better if it just would have said, Vayishmu kol adas b'nei Yisrael? Combined with one thing, what's this, Vayishmu Yisrael, and then Vayikalu, just say, Vayishmu b'nei Yisrael, Vayikalu kulam. What's this? Vayikalu kol adas b'nei Yisrael. What is this? Ela adas b'nei Yisrael. What does it mean in Ada? An Ada. Beyond the regular b'nei Yisrael. Khan over here, adas b'nei means Hema Bezdin Agodal. Next page. That's the big Bezdin. That's the Kehillah Center. That's the big Bezdin. And Taka was Yeshua Bezdino. It was Yeshua and his Bezdin. She's asul l'mashma masa b'nei God b'nei Reuven b'shilo. That they gather together to hear what's going on with these tribes. Liad Mizbeach Hashem. So that they all were gathered together in Shiloh, next to the Mizbeach, to hear what's going on. Because the Taka says, Ki Sanhedrin Boim Mitzad Mizbeach. The Sanhedrin is next to the Mizbeach. And that's, we find this as well, V'chein Enu Motzim B'Torah, we find many times in the Torah, the expression, Adas Yisrael, it's not just the congregation, but Eim Ha'eda HaMuyuchet HaShem Yisrael. It's the unique congregation of the Jewish people. Leizu, what is that? Zeh Sanhedrin Gadol. That's the Supreme Court. Hayashevas Pelishka Sagazis, which is in the chamber near the Mizbeach. Aha. So now, it seems that they did congregate. In other words, the leaders congregated. The Sanhedrin congregated. That's what that Pasuk is saying in Yud Beis. Vayikalu kol adas b'nei Yisrael. That means the congregation gathered in Shiloh. So why do they have to do that? Why did Yeshua's best have to gather together? But rather, as the Rambam says, they wanted to judge these tribes to see if they had the status of an ir hanidachas. Like the Rambam says in the Meir Nevuchim. To go up against them in war. They had to decide the judgment in their court first. To decide what's going on, as the Rambam discusses. And we'll continue this discussion tomorrow, right over there in the small print. We'll see how the Rambam discusses this.